I invite you to take your worship folders and turn to page 6. There's some space there. And maybe you have a pen, or, you know, we have these little pencils in the, you know, by the envelopes in the pews. Grab one of those, and I want you to draw a circle in that space. And I want you to know there's going to be more circles outside of this, okay? So sometimes I always hate it when people give me instructions and they're like, draw a circle, and I draw a big circle. And then they're like, oh yeah, draw another circle around that. So I'm warning you, okay? All right? This will be a smaller circle here. So draw a circle, and in that circle, I want you to write a couple names or maybe even just initials of people who have been in your home the last month. In the last month. So maybe they came over for dinner, maybe, I don't know. Stop by. All right, got a few. Now I want you to draw another circle around it. So a concentric circle around the other one. And on that one, in that one, but not in the first one, write down the names or initials of some people who are on your list. So I don't know about you, we have a list. We have a list of people who are like, oh man, we got to get together with those people. You know, do you have a list like that? Like, oh, we haven't seen them in a while, or they invited us over their house, we got to have them over. So who's on your list to invite over into your home? Draw another circle. This is in your 3G plan too, so if you want to spend some more time on it this week, you can. Another circle, and in that, I want you to think about some people who, if they asked if they could stop by, you'd say, oh yeah, sure. Come on over. Okay? So maybe they're not on your list, but they'd definitely be welcome. They'd definitely be welcome. Okay, another circle. You might be running out of room at this point. That's okay. Now, this circle is for those who, if you saw them coming up your driveway, you turn off the lights and hide behind the furniture. All right? You're like, oh, jeez. Like your pastor or someone like that. I don't know. Here we go. Well, yeah, okay, solicitors maybe, but no, I'm really more thinking just people you might know, yeah. All right, one more circle, and these are the people who you just call the police if you saw them around your house. And I mean that genuinely, like someone you might think, they shouldn't be here. Okay. I want you to look at your circles. I want you to ask yourself, what would God's circles look like? What would God's circles look like? So we've talked about our church's history, and we've had a video on this a couple times, and as we learn the lessons of our past, as we move into our future as a church, our second century. One of the stories that's come up a number of times has been the story of the Nguyen family, the family from Vietnam who the churches had a chance to get together and sponsor, essentially, to come and live in Toledo and relocate themselves. And I've heard the story many times, and so I had asked Jim to share it on a video, but I love the part of the story where you're having your congregational meeting, and of course we have one of those today after worship, and you know, in congregational meetings, everyone, you know, has all kinds of questions, and always thinking about the how. How are we going to do this? You know, what do we need to do this? And all those questions, and then Jim Depth stands up and says, what would Jesus do? And of course, just like on the disciples on the road, when Jesus says, hey, what were you talking about? And they realize, ooh, you know, we know what Jesus has to say about this. I think people knew in that moment that Jesus would find a way to welcome this family. Right? And we know that because Jesus risked, at times, his reputation, at times the support of people who were well-connected and powerful, at times his own safety and ultimately his life, to welcome people that were outside others' circles, or at least in the outer circles of others. Whether those people were tax collectors or prostitutes or what the Bible, the New Testament calls sinners, or whether they were women or Samaritans or even Gentiles. You might go so far as to say that Jesus was killed because of the extravagant welcome that he offered to the people that he met, which threatened others who wanted to keep the circles smaller. And this practice of extravagant welcome became engraved in the practice of his first followers. As we read in Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Where do strangers fit in your circles? You might go so far again to say that the gospel, the good news, is about God's extravagant welcome of all people. And since the gospel is about God's extravagant welcome, so is the church. So is the church. And so as I read the history of Point Place United Church of Christ, it is that story of the Wynn family that stands out as one of the high points. Those moments where the practice of the church reflected so clearly the practice of Jesus and the heart of God. And so this morning, last week, we looked at the planters, those who planted the church. Today, I want to look a little bit more at the welcomers and what we learn about hospitality and God's welcome for us and how that affects us as we enter into the first of our next 100 years as a church. And I want to share just a couple steps. We're going to take about 3 steps up in what it means to extravagantly welcome and be hospitable to others. And the first step has to do with receiving God's welcome. Receiving God's welcome. Because I would offer that our welcoming spirit and how we draw our circles is in direct proportion to the grasp that we have of God's welcome for us. Make sense? How open we are, how open our arms are, is in proportion to how we understand God's openness to be. You see, if we are not secure in God's love for us and our adoption as children of God, then we will be tempted to draw lines and prove our worth, and find reasons to show how other people are less worthy than us. That's how insecurity works. We try and push others down so that we can somehow make our way in. And we need to know, and you need to know, and I need to know this morning, that the following boxes are what you have to check off to be welcomed into God's family. You ready for the boxes that you need to check off? You have to be human. And that's all. That's what Mark 10 or 9 is all about. When the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. Because if they're the greatest, then they're definitely welcome. Right? But beneath that, there's questions. That's what they're arguing about. And Jesus brings a little child in front of them. And he says, this child is what it means to be welcome in God's kingdom. Welcome this little child, and you'll understand what God's welcome is about. And he didn't bring that child because children are innocent or cute, and that's really not how people viewed children in the ancient world. He put the child there because the child has nothing to offer. The child is simply need and dependent on others. Hasn't accomplished anything. Hasn't achieved anything. Hasn't met any standards. Is just a child. And that's what Jesus says God's welcome is like. Welcome this child among you. It's why the gospel includes words like forgiveness and mercy and grace. Because it's for people who are guilty and needy and unworthy. And so if we are going to practice open-armed welcome, we need to understand and be secure in God's welcome of us, regardless of what we've done or haven't done, or who we are, or what boxes we've checked. We need to be secure in that and understand what God's welcome is like. But at the same time, we need to be careful if you think God has accepted you because you're pretty decent. Okay, so you might be insecure about God's welcome of you, or you might think that you're accepted by God and welcomed into God's family because you're just a pretty decent person. And why wouldn't God accept you? And that's where, when we draw our circles, that's usually where our circles stop then. At other people who are pretty decent people, pretty respectable, and pretty trustworthy and good. Your circle is only going to be as wide as your sense of need of God's grace and God's mercy. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." He understands how deep his need was for God's grace and mercy, and it's that allows him to widen the circle. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, to take God's message of love and hope and welcome to all of the world. All of the people who were outside of most Jews' circles at that time, Paul understands that God's grace and mercy are so deep for him that there's no one else that he can keep out. There's no one else that he can exclude from this invitation to come and know God and God's love. And so we have to understand, if we're going to welcome others, that God's welcome isn't because of our goodness, but because of God's. It's God's goodness that determines who is welcomed. And God's goodness has no boundaries. All right, so we need to understand and receive God's welcome if we're going to extend extravagant welcome to others. The second step is being able then to practice a reactive kind of welcome. Okay, here's what I mean by that. And this is kind of what Hebrews talks about. And hospitality in the ancient world was people were traveling all over the place, and they would come and they'd say, "Hey, I need a place to stay." And you would say, "Okay," because there weren't like hotels everywhere and all of these things. So they would come and you would welcome them into your home. And that's kind of a reaction. They come, and you say, "Hey, okay, come on in." And so when someone comes to us, whether it's the Wynn family, who we were approached with this opportunity to welcome them into Toledo and sponsor them, and we reacted and said, "Yeah, come on in." Or a visitor who may come through the doors and come to be with us on a Sunday morning, we want to react to their coming in with a spirit of welcome. At some level, they have come to us, and they're willing to accept our terms. They're seeing if they can fit and taking what they can get, what we'll offer. And Christian hospitality then says that, hey, welcome them. If they come to you, welcome them. Because look, you might be entertaining angels, right? That's the story of Abraham, by the way. Read it in Genesis. Who knows? You might be entertaining angels. Every stranger is an opportunity to welcome God. Or as Paul writes in Galatians, listen to this passage. He says, you know, to the Galatian church, you know that it was because of a physical infirmity that I first announced the gospel to you. Though my condition put you to the test. So he was kind of maybe a bit of a burden. He's in the city of Galatia, and he's got these needs that he needs them to help him with. He says, even though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Wow. How many of you treat visitors as if they were Jesus? That's what it means to reflect the welcome of God. Not as people who are lucky to have your help, but like the King himself has come and has graciously decided to be among us. So how do we treat visitors? How do we welcome those who come to us with needs? Do we treat them as if they or angels, messengers from God, or Christ himself among us? How many of you know the names of some of the visitors we've had over the last few weeks? We don't want to overwhelm people, right? We don't want to just like swarm them, smother them. But I don't think we're in danger of doing that either. Do we welcome people like they're Jesus himself? So we need to welcome people reactively, as if they're Christ. But it goes one step further. We're going to take one more step this morning. I want to talk about proactive welcome. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 14. He says, he said also to the one who had invited him, so someone has shown hospitality to Jesus. He says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That is a proactive welcome, where we don't just wait for people to come here, where we go out seeking those who might need or want an invitation, who might need to feel welcomed and like they belong with someone somewhere. And so remember your circles again. Jesus is kind of calling us, and I say this not as someone who's mastered this, but to go from the outside in on those circles. To give up the home field advantage, so to speak. Instead of waiting for them to come to our turf, to go to them and engage others on their terms and with their needs. I was thinking of actually John Rainey's story. He told the story he chose from his 27 years here was the story of putting in the elevator, and he talks about another congregational meeting. So much happens at these congregational meetings. Another congregational meeting where they were talking about the elevator, and he said someone stood up and looked around, and he said, well, I don't see anyone here who needs an elevator to get in. Right? Isn't that how we think sometimes? Well, no one here likes that. No one here needs that. But that's not the point, because they're probably not here because they do need that. And God has called us to go out and be proactive. I was talking to a friend, a Mennonite friend. Do you have any Mennonite friends? They're good people. I like the Mennonites. And he was at a regional gathering of his Mennonite churches, and there were speakers there, Alan and Deb Hirsch, who go around talking about the church. And they talk about how there are multiple kind of circles. Let's think about circles, where there are the people inside the church. And then there are people who are maybe one step outside. And these are people maybe looking for a church. Maybe they move into the neighborhood and are looking for a church. And then maybe there's another step. And these are people who are familiar with the church and culture. And if they came in here, they would be you know, pretty comfortable and understand what's going on. And then you keep working out and out and out. And we know that in our society, there are more and more people in those outer circles who know nothing about a church. And if they came in here, they'd feel really awkward and be totally uncomfortable. And they said, you know, most of our churches are built for the people on the inner circle and maybe one circle out and maybe two circles out. The people who are mostly familiar with what church is all about. And he said, we actually, in doing that, are forcing these people in the farthest circles to be missionaries. To be the ones who cross the borders and cross cultures so that they can be a part of our church. When, of course, we know that it is we who are called to be the missionaries, who cross the boundaries and cross the borders, and to adjust our preferences and our language that we speak and what's meaningful to us as we listen to what others might understand and need. And so Paul was, you know, he's one of the great early church leaders for a reason. He says, to Jews I became a Jew, to Gentiles I became like a Gentile. And he's not talking about his convictions, he's not talking about compromising his convictions, and what he deeply believes about the gospel. He's talking about being willing to compromise his preferences and his comfort level, and be able to speak other languages beyond what his first language, and what he's most comfortable speaking, so that others can know that they are welcome in God's kingdom. And if this is our future as a church, this is not something that we can just blueprint ourselves in a meeting, right? Because the first step is to go out and to listen and make ourselves available to people who are different and develop relationships with people we wouldn't usually connect to, because we don't even know. We don't even know what their needs are or what their language is or what their preferences might be. So let's go back to our circles one more time. I want you to think about your circles, look at them if they're in front of you, and ask, how is God speaking to you this morning? How is God working on you? Maybe it's this idea of your own sense of welcome, that I don't really feel secure in God's love for me, apart from anything I've done or accomplished. Maybe it's this idea of treating other people like Jesus, who come to you. Or maybe it's this call to be proactive and go out and build a relationship with someone who's different than you and learn about them and learn from them. Who would you like to see the church developing listening relationships with? Not so we can bring them in and make them like us, but so that we can understand and connect in new ways with others. So that we can build on our past and go with God into our future as we extend Jesus' extravagant welcome into God's family. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have opened your arms wide to us. And we are honored and grateful to be called your sons and daughters, not because of anything we've done, but just simply because you have loved us. And we pray that we would be like you. Make us like you. Pry our arms open wider and wider as we listen and as we connect and as we get to know others, so that we can widen our circles, understand our own good news better, and also be able to share it with others. We ask it all in the name of Jesus.